Five Stones Church thanks you for listening to this message from Pastor Ryan Smith. For more information, events, and the latest news, consider connecting with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Together, we can awaken a generation.
Reach down, grab your Bibles. We're just standing for the Word. Turn with me to Mark's Gospel. Y'all gonna let me preach a minute, right? I have every intention today to obey the Lord. And that being said, I'm going to be somewhat pastoral today. I don't have a deep prophetic word, but I have a pastoral message. Because I want to encourage you. I think sometimes in the body of Christ, we fail to really encourage the saints. And I felt real strongly this week that it was my esteemed honor to stand here and encourage you. Because I believe God's doing things in your life, but sometimes it's hard to understand the interim, the meantime. And I think it's important for us today to understand how to handle that moment you're in right now when it's not the moment you started in, but it's not the moment you're believing for. Y'all follow me? I very rarely title a message, but I titled this one Meantime. How many of you ever felt like you were in the meantime between where you started? I had one person. I guess the rest of you can take the day off. Okay, now I got two. Yeah, there's three. Now that's enough. I got enough. Now I'll stay too. But I think it's a difficult transition, especially as a believer, to figure out how to navigate the meantime. And I thank God, and I'm grateful for where I was yesterday. But I don't want to be today where I was yesterday. I mean, I believe God's got a pathway for my life. And sometimes I get disconnected from his purpose because I get my eyes on what's going on around me. Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter. I don't think I even told you where to go. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 35. Verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Y'all see that? Let us cross over to the other side. Let me ask you a question. Just reading the narrative, let us cross over to the other side. Did he have any intention of failing? No. His intention was to do what? Pass over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great storm arose. And the waves beat against the boat so that it was already filling. How many know what's beginning to happen? Their boat's beginning to sink. How many know boats don't sink because the water that's around them? Boats only sink when the what's around them gets in them. I'm going to preach that right there. You don't sink because of your surroundings. You sink when you allow what's around you to get in you, weight you down, and carry you down. That might be prophetic, I don't know. But some of you need to understand that it's not what you're going through. It's what you're letting that you're going through to get in you. Verse 38, "But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.'" That word peace translated means hush. Calm down. The Bible says, "The wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful?'" Why are you so fearful? "How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea
obey him. See, these disciples had an inadequate view of Jesus. They'd accepted him as a Messiah, as a king. What they didn't have was the full understanding of the authority he was carrying. See, a lot of times in life, we accept Jesus as Savior, but we don't understand the weight of the authority that he carries. Is he Savior? Yes, but he's so much more. He's so much more than just being your Redeemer and your Savior and your get out of hell free card. He's so much more. Father, add your blessings to this house, to these people, and this word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated in his presence for just a moment. And while you're being seated, just go over with me to chapter number 6. You say, you're reading a lot of Bible. I got a lot of work to do. The better the foundation, the more I can build. Mark chapter 6. Turn over there with me. Mark chapter 6. I want to look at just a couple more verses of Scripture because I think it's imperative that we get to the place where we understand this. Now, while you're going to chapter 6, let me go to chapter 5, verse 1. Because it says, then they came to the other side. Jesus told them, we're going to the other side. Just because there's a storm, that did not diminish the fact that he was going to get them to where he preordained them to be. Now, in chapter 6, are you there? All right, let's look at chapter 6, and let's look at verse 45. Can we be a word church today? Every once in a while, we just need to get in the word. We do a lot of shouting and hooping and hollering and praying and prophesying and everything else, and I like that. But how many believe every once in a while we just need to dive into the Word and study something and learn something so that we can walk something out? Verse 45. Immediately he made his disciples to get in the boat, to go before him to the other side. Here he is again saying to the same disciples, I want you to go before me to go to the other side. He said, I want you to go to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening had come, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on land. Verse 48. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. How many would say, not again? For the wind was against them. Now what's interesting in verse 48 is he sees them straining to row because the wind and the wave was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night. Now that's what's amazing to me. Because the fourth watch of the night is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. You don't see anything between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. unless you can see something in the spirit. Okay, y'all, think about what I just said. The Bible says he sees them in their difficulty when it's impossible in the natural to see because how many know at 3 a.m. it's dark? I got some encouragement for somebody in this room. It may not look like he should see your struggle. It may not even look like he's identified your struggle. But just because you don't think he sees doesn't mean he doesn't know. Ah, somebody help me right here. He saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them, about the fourth watch of the night. He came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. That's a poor translation. Said he came near to them, if you look at it in correct connotation. But the Bible says in verse 49, and when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, so would have you. And cried out, for they saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. See, Jesus had just in chapter 6 fed the 5,000. He had just released a filling and a healing to those that were hungry. And the Bible says because they couldn't even process that, they were still struggling because of hardness of heart. Look at verse 55. When?
When they crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. When? When they got to where they were designed to be, they were able to accomplish what he had said they could do. Now, here's what's interesting to me. Can I have your attention for a few moments? I won't hold you terribly long. What do you do when you're waiting to get where you're supposed to be? What do you do when God said this is where you're supposed to be, but you're not there yet? Because some of you are not living what you believe God promised you. You're in what we would call the meantime. You may be in the meantime in your marriage because everybody had a picture of what they believed their marriage would be. And you may be sitting here this morning going, this is not the poster child of the marriage I thought I would have. Some of you right now feel like somebody else is living your life. Somebody else is living your life. Because all of us had a blueprint of what our life would look like, and I don't know how yours was, but mine didn't have wrinkles in it. Am I right about it? My life didn't have wrinkles. It was a wrinkle-free life. It was without adversity. It was without challenge. It was without problem. It was a life that was easy and comfortable, and I made a lot of money in my mind. For in my mind, I never envisioned standing on a platform preaching the gospel. Because I'm going to school to be educated so that I can make money. And then God introduces me to a plan and a purpose and a pathway that was far beyond my description. And then nobody told me that ministry would be so difficult because you would assume that ministry would be easy. As my dad has always said, you only work a few hours a week. On Father's Day last week, I called my father after church. He says, what have you been doing, son? I said, I've been working, Dad. He said, oh, that's right. You only work one day a week. And I was calling him at 2:30. I said, yeah, I've been at the church since 7. I said, I've had a full day. My blueprint and God's blueprint were two different things. And most of us in this room would testify what we are living is not ideally what we thought it would be. I think most of us in this room have sensed that God was taking us somewhere. We just did not always like the path that he took us. Because if it would have been up to me, I would have taken some of the paths that he's taken me on. Because to me, some of them were depleting and diminishing and frustrating and difficult. And I found myself at the epicenter of my life going, this doesn't look right. Have you ever looked at your life in the mirror and said, I never thought I would be where I am right now? It's amazing to me how most of us live in mean times, but we never communicate to you from the pulpit how to deal with the in-betweens. So we just leave you stuck in your new normal. Right? How many know what I'm talking about? Stuck in your new normal. Your new normal sounds like what culture says. It is what it is. Right? Culture says it'll be what it'll be. So culture preaches a message just to accept the new normal. Just deal with it. Suck it up, buttercup. Right? And then you come to church. And we talk to you about promise, prosperity, and provision, and blessing, and abundance. And you're back there going, Pastor, that's wonderful. The problem is I'm rowing and making no progress. My problem is the winds are contrary to me. The waves are now coming over the boat, and I don't know what to do because nobody preaches to me how to handle my meantime. So we leave you out there saying, grow up, get stronger, be more mature. And we don't give you anything practical. Am I right about it? Are y'all just going to just be like that? You've never had questions. You never said, Lord, why?
Nobody wants to talk to me.
Nobody's ever felt like God was absent. Nobody ever felt like God was apathetic. Anybody ever feel like God was angry at you because surely you must have done something wrong to put you in this kind of... Right? The three A's. We've all been through those questionings, right? And most of us never found an answer. We've searched and scoured through Scripture, but we never found answers to this because we read the narratives of Scripture and it sounds wonderful, but he still feels absent. It still feels like he's apathetic. It still feels like he's angry at me or something, and I can't figure out why I think this about the God that I believe loves me. Because if he loves me, he wouldn't put me in the middle of this mess. And so what's interesting to me is I've got to figure out why you think the way you think. Now, isn't that a question? Why do you think the way you think? Well, the reason you think the way you think is because you're dealing with a saturation of a culture that's contrary to kingdom knowledge. So how many men in this room watch SportsCenter? All right, I'll work this side of the room. Because culture is so saturating our thought pattern, here's what it does. It gives us the highlights of success. So if you watch SportsCenter, what you're going to see is you're going to see the slam dunk, right? You're going to see the walk-off home run. You're going to see the touchdown catch. And so what we give you is the highlights of the success. So the orientation of our life is now based on highlights, not practice. Because, see, SportsCenter is not going to entertain you with the practice. They're not going to show you the missed shots. They're not going to show you the strikeouts. They're not going to show you the failures. They're not going to show you running laps. They're not going to show the practice. They want to show the highlights. So what it has done is it's saturated the culture with a mindset that life is about highlights and not practice. I'm going to walk this out right here. Can I walk it? Because what I begin to understand is there's a lot of things in the meantime that you just got to walk out that is not always highlighted. All right, let me walk it out like this. How many know that from the age of 12 to the age of 30, Scripture does not record anything about the life of Jesus Christ? Am I right? From the age of 12 to the age of 30, the revealing of his ministry, we don't know anything because there's nothing written in the Synoptic Gospels. How many know that was a mean time? How many know a lot happened? Huh? Jesus had adolescence. Huh? He grew armpit hair. Oh, that got you now, right? You're like, oh, Pastor, he was the Son of God. Yeah, he was a man. You all have a picture of him with a beard. How do you think he got it? One day he went into Daddy's mirror and he said, look, Dad, am I right about it? But see, the Scripture does not record anything in his meantime. And a lot of times we feel like because nothing is being said, that it's not significant or it's not valuable. And that's contrary. Just because God doesn't speak to you when you're in the middle of your transition does not mean that it's not meaningful or significant. What you have to understand, are you here? What you have to understand is to not live based on the highlight, but be lived on the consistency of doing it every day until you get to where you're supposed to be. Ah, you're not here. You say, well, Pastor, please answer the question, does he still love me? Because it sure doesn't feel like he loves me when I'm rowing and not making progress. If this is love, I'd hate to see hate. Right? You ever felt like that? Come on, y'all acting way too religious this morning. I told you we're going to be a word church for a moment. Because here's where we are, and I told you I needed to be pastoral because I think a lot of people struggle with this.
we begin to question the authenticity of his love for us because of what we see, the storms, the wind, the rowing, the effort, because we want highlights. I like highlights. Woohoo! Yeah. But you can't have highlights without mean times. And so somebody says to me, Pastor, can you prove to me he loves me? And he loves me when I'm rowing and I'm not making progress. Does he love me when it seems like the wind and the waves are against me? Yes, I can. John chapter 3, verse 16. I'm coming with it. For God so loved, somebody say me. Yeah, for God so loved that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that be me, believes. He gave his son because he loved me. My value released the love of God. The significance of your life released the love of God. The next time you are rowing in your boat and making no progress, when fear and anxiety is gripping your life, the next time it looks like you need to get a 5-gallon bucket and start bailing water out of your boat, you got to remember something. He loved you so much that he gave his son when you didn't deserve it. And his son is the one who can get to your boat and help you get to the other side. See, a lot of people don't understand because they want Jesus to be king, but they don't understand the attributes of his everyday presence because we see wind, we see waves, we see problems, and we don't see him. Okay, can I walk this out? Just because you have adversity doesn't mean that he is not present. Adversity doesn't mean that he's not present. Adversity means the enemy has identified you're making progress. Somebody said, well, he has definitely found out where I live. And you still haven't told me, Pastor, what to do between here and there. You're just like every other pastor. You just talk about this, but you don't help me. Well, I'm glad you asked because I'm going to help you. Are you ready? You say, Pastor, give me a deep word, a revelatory word, a prophetic word. Give me something so deep I got to chew on it for 14 days. You ready? You ready? How do I handle the in-between, the meantime, the time where God says go and it seems like everything's going wrong? What do I do? What do I do? You stay in the boat. No, you didn't get it. In the fourth chapter, he says to them, get in here, go to the other side. He gets in there with them, and even though he's in the boat with them, it does not diminish the fact that there's a storm. He's in the boat asleep. He's not troubled because he already knows where we're going. The only way to have safety in your life is to stay in the boat. You're like, yeah, but it seems like Jesus is asleep. Stay in the boat. He'll wake up. What about the sixth chapter? They're rowing. He sees them. He goes, "What? Can you mess with me a little more?" He walks on the water. And then he walks right over to the edge of the boat, throws his leg up into the boat, and when he gets in the boat becomes calm because the sea becomes calm. The only way to get through what you're going through is to stay in the boat. The problem is most people in our culture don't understand what the boat is. Because, see, to me, the boat is more significant than anything. Because, see, I look at the local church like a boat. I'm going to find me some people that at least nod. I tell you, I'm going to teach a little bit, and y'all like, listen, if you get a hold of this will change your life. If you get a hold of this will change your life. You won't be that whining, crying person that you've always been every time you row and don't make no progress.
Because there's going to be some days where you row and make no progress. There's going to be some days where you're bailing water because it looks like what's on the outside is getting on the inside of you. We've all been there and we'll all be there, but we're not getting off the boat because of it. It may be difficult, but I'm not getting off the boat. I may have to row harder than I've ever rowed, but I'm not rowing alone, and we're not getting off the boat. We're going to stay on the boat, in the boat, and committed to the venture of the boat because that's the only way I can get to where he promised me. Now, some people don't believe in the local church. I do. I'm a local church guy. I believe in the local church. I believe in the local church. What do you mean by that? I believe the local church is used by God to communicate the gospel and the understanding of Jesus Christ to the community it's in. And I believe that the church is the ark. It's the boat. That he's put all of us in the boat, not to rock the boat, but to row the boat. The only reason the boat's rocking is because you're not rowing. Let me walk that out. Because some of you can't get along with others. Because somebody, oh God, help me here. Somebody's always got an opinion about how to row a boat. No, we row it on 2 and 4, not 1 and 3. Some of you, I got to be old school to think about that, because some of you couldn't clap on 1 and 3. You had to clap on 2 and 4. You all know white folk ain't got no rhythm. We hard to get folks to get all on the same page. Hard to get people all on the same page. I'm going to bring us all on the same page for just a moment, because all of us have difficulties. All of us are dealing with God that's promised us a pathway to get to a place, but right now it doesn't seem as if we're going to get there. How many's got some dreams you've not got to yet? How many's got some things you're waiting on God? So if you're designed to go somewhere, you're going to need somebody to help you get there, because you can't do it by yourself. So the power of the boat is in the ability to have partnership. Means you got to make room for some people on your boat to help you get where you're designed to be. You're going to help me get where God designed me to be. Never mind, I'll talk to my wife. Y'all just being hateful. She is in my life to help me fulfill my promise and my purpose from God. 30 years of marriage, and she's still helping me row. Why? Because she heard what I heard, she knows what he said, and even though there's difficulty, and even though there's struggle, we're gonna be patient through our meantime, because we know if we continue to endure, we'll reap. That's what we know about his book. So partnership in your life is critical. If you feel like your boat's stagnant, that's probably because you don't have anybody on the boat with you helping you row it. See, here's what's beautiful about church. Everybody comes from different backgrounds, different cultures, different social economic backgrounds. We all kinds of different kind of crazy. Right? Anybody just like you? Somebody say thank God. Thank God. What, are you kidding me? Thank God there's not anybody else like me. Can you imagine more than one? Right? See, in your meantime, the adversary speaks so loudly about the power of isolation that you feel like you're going through it by yourself, that you're the only one going through it. You're the only one frustrated. You're the only one feel like God's apathetic. You're the only one think God's mad at you. But when you open yourself up to partnership, you'll realize, you know what? Brian's thinking the same thing, feeling the same thing. He's still dealing with the same epicenter of frustration that you are. But because the enemy wants you isolated, you find yourself on the boat by yourself, Gilligan. How many know Gilligan not going to get you to where you need to be? You're going to need a skipper. Sometimes I'm just way too elementary.
I can do it by myself. Okay, you go ahead and do it by yourself. See where you get. You get a word of promise, and then you get frustrated because you can't get yourself to where he said you needed to be. Why? Because he never intended you to do it by yourself. Part of the meantime is the ability for you to learn partnership skills. Because the reality is, you're going to need some people in the boat with you. Because if you left to yourself, you're jumping over. You need somebody to grab you by the boat, by the belt, and pull you back in the boat. Because most of us would jump off the boat if we were left to our own devices. Because most of us get frustrated. Are you here? Most of us get angry about our situation. And we go, fine, you don't love me, God. You didn't ever care about me. This was a mistake to serve you. I should have never done it. And we jump overboard. We walk our own plank. Okay, y'all don't want to talk to me. How many has ever walked your own plank? Found yourself outside the boat, outside the protection, and you thought it was better to jump overboard until you found out the water is cold and it's deep and it's a lot of effort to keep your head above water. And thank God there was somebody on the boat that said, man overboard! Woman overboard, and here comes the church, the boat with a life raft, and we're going to come find you because the Holy Ghost done put a beacon on you, and you may think you can't be found, and you may think you're drifting by the current, but I got news for you. The Holy Ghost will move the boat, and he'll move the skipper, and he'll move the people to help rescue you, put you back in the boat so you can fulfill your promise. You may be in your meantime between where you started and where you're going, but if you'll stay in the boat, you can at least get there. Is that all right? So partnership's important because a lot of times we do life independently. I can't do life independently. I'm miserable by myself. I can't get along with me anyway. You don't ever have arguments with yourself. If you're left to your own interpretation of your situations, you will always see it as gloom, despondent, I'm about to sink. You will talk yourself into self-sabotaging the boat because you think that it's against you. Church failed me. Pastor failed me. Leaders failed me. Everybody failed me. What's your alternative? What's the alternative? I know church is not perfect. How many can agree? You know why it's not perfect? Because we're in it. We are imperfect people. You say, but you're saved. Yes, but we still have imperfect ways. Pastor will fail you. I will fail you. Some days you'll fail each other. Some days you want to throw the other off the boat. Until we understand the value of partnership, we'll never understand how to walk through our meantimes. Because, see, what happens in your meantime is God demands that you cooperate with others. Well, I thought it was all about me. It is about you and us. There were 12 disciples on the boat in chapter 4 and chapter 6, both times 12 disciples. How many know some of them had attitudes? You don't think not a one of them stood up after the second storm and went, this is ridiculous. Jesus King, yes, I get it. Love him for that. But this is ridiculous. Have you ever thought that there needed to be somebody on the other end of the boat going, Peter, shut up? It's not good, but hold on, I see something. What do you see? I'm not sure. Who's on your boat with you? Who's on your boat? Who are you doing life with? because whoever you have partnership with will help set the path of your life. And sometimes your mean time, your in-between times is so difficult because you're not on the right partnership plan. Because if you got the wrong partners, you got the wrong path. And see, the path should be ordained by God. But if God's not a part of the boat that you're on, then what you get is the plans of man. I've had the plans of man, and they're lucrative. But the attachments and the strongholds that come with them are not worth it. So when you determine who you're partnering with, they're going to determine path. But see, what they divide, what they provide for you in the difficulty is that we can do it. Who's told you lately you can do it? Who's told you you can do it? Who's told you, son, that you can do this? Vicky? I'll just tell it. You're not a church guy. Never been a church guy until you got in this boat. It's okay. But you're also sober too, aren't you? <laughs> 60 days? You didn't get it. He's about 60 days sober. I guess the boat don't matter. No, I guess the boat don't matter. See, if you was on the other boat, you'd still be drinking. But because you're on a new boat and you got some new partners, we're going to help you reach your destiny in the name of the Lord. Amen. Suzanne, you got a whole row. Don't tell me that I got to give up on the boat. Don't give up on the boat.
Well, I don't like church.
I don't either. I don't like the bureaucracy. I don't like your opinions. You don't like my preaching. We agree. One of us was telling the truth. I'm just pastoring. I'm not evangelist today, not prophet today. I'm just pastoring. Because that's my call. If you don't have a boat, you'll never live through the difficulties. And if you don't stay in the boat, you'll never get there. So, well, I don't see the value of church. Well, if you're 60 days sober, there's value in the boat. If you come out of some of what y'all have come out of and you are where you are right now, we've had more people come out of the jailhouse and end up in our altars in the last few months than we've had in a long time. People say, well, what's going on? Well, see, God's making the boat a little bigger so that we can have room to help folk row through life because we don't die prematurely. And some people don't know patterns of life until they get around other people that have patterns. See, I know this is elementary. I get it. But I don't want to do my life alone. Say, well, you're a pastor. You've been doing this your whole life. Yeah, but I don't want to do it by myself. It's. I know they're all on vacation. It's miserable looking at a green pew. Because there should be lives here. Lives that are going through meantime experiences, that in-between time, and they need me to help them go, keep rowing. Stay in the boat. Come on now, don't give up today. Stay in the boat. I know you're tired. Let me help you row a while. I know it seems like water is coming over the edge of the boat. That's all right. Because, see, staying in the boat with the right people connects you with a partnership of people who will help you do life And see, the beautiful thing about what Jesus was trying to teach them was it was not just that he was trying to teach them about who he was, because that was only part of it. He was teaching them how to work together when he wasn't in the midst of it. See, we've got a vending machine mindset. The other day I was at the hospital waiting on y'all to come out. And you know that vending machine? You put money in it or card in it, and you punch in a code, and it gives you something. Now, I get a sermon out of anything. Okay? I'm standing here waiting on the Purdue's to come out, and I needed a snack. So I didn't have cash money, so I put my card in, and I put a code in, and it gave me something. I went, that was easy. So I went over to the drink machine and did the same thing and put in a code, and it gave me something. And then I sat down, and I had what I had, but it didn't really satisfy me. See, a lot of times we treat God like he's a vending machine, that it's all about exchanges. I give you something, you give me something, fine. But see, God's not a vending machine God. He's a God that wants a relationship. And see, if he was just the vending machine God, he would never need you to go through some difficulties, because see, the difficulties is what cultivates the relationship. Because see, if you ain't got your back against the wall, you don't need him. Huh? If you don't have your boat sinking, you don't need him. See, a lot of us have become this church of the vending machine. We run up here, we throw him a little something, and we expect an exchange. And sometimes we get disappointed because he puts us right in the middle of the sea with no apparent answer, no apparent solution, and he puts us right there, and he says, now, row a while. We're like, that's not fair. I just want you to give me a blessing. I want you to give me a good marriage. I'm single. I want you to give me a good man or a good wife. He said, you better row a while. Why do I got to row a while? Because what I want to teach you in the row is important to the relationship. Have you ever thought some of what you had to go through was because he wanted you to learn more about him? I mean, and some of you have had some horrific experiences, and you're like, where is he? He's right there in the midst of it. You just couldn't identify him. Why could I not identify him, Pastor? Well, either you were on the wrong boat, or the boat you were on had people on it that would not allow you to see him. Or maybe you were just denying the fact that he was close by. Because sometimes the situations cloud your perspective. You say, what are you teaching me? Stay in the boat. Yeah, but I don't like my spouse. Stay in the boat. Yeah, but she ain't acting right and he ain't acting right. Stay in the boat. Well, what about my physical body? It's not working right. Stay in the boat. Well, my children are obeying. Stay in the boat. Yeah, but I'm struggling with my mindset. Stay in the boat. The only way you succeed is stay in the boat. Because when you're in the boat, you are where he is closest to. That's where he's drawn to. The Lord is drawn to the boat. If the church is the boat, even in difficulty, where can he find you? He gonna find me in the boat. He gonna find me worshiping in the boat. He gonna find me honoring him in the boat. He gonna find me rowing in the boat. He gonna find me partnering with you in the boat. Why? Because I still need him to help me get to where I need to be. Does that make sense to anybody in this room? See, what are you tempted to do when life gets difficult? Jump out of the boat. Some of you here for the first time, and you say, well, you know, I don't even know if I like this church. I don't know if you do either. In fact, it's not my job to make you like it. It's my job to let you know that Jesus wants you in at least a boat so that it can help you get. If this ain't the boat for you, I mean, we ain't the only cruise ship. Right? You got choices. I thank God you came today because you had choices. Most of you drove by another boat. And I don't take that for granted. I've always told my children, I said, the day that nobody shows up on the boat is the day I've retired. That means I've landed the boat, I've docked the boat, I've anchored the boat, and everybody got off. So as long as you keep showing up, I'm going to keep showing up. Because my responsibility to you is to help you go from where you started to where he intended you to be. And you can't do that alone. You can't do that alone. It's impossible for you to make it through this life alone. You may not like your other boat mates, but you're going to have to learn to love them. Yeah, but they're nagging and irritating. I get it. But they'll probably be the one that stretches their hand outside the boat and risk themselves to pull you back in because you jumped off. And then you'll have to love the one that you despise because the one you despised helped you the most. And I found out God's got a cool sense of humor about that. Huh? How many know what I'm talking about? You say, well, I don't like that certain person. Well, that'll be the very person that blesses you the most, does something for you, and God will go, aha. Because you know that's right. God will send the people that you didn't even think you liked. The voice you listen to determines your destiny. The voice you listen to determines your destiny. I understand church is difficult today because it's been so marginalized, watered down. It's been saturated in the syrup of religion, right? And it lacks authenticity. It lacks relationships. People say, well, you know, when we had 50 people coming, we were a lot closer. It doesn't matter if it's 50, 200, 2,000. Because I'm prophesying every time I walk in here, these curtains come down. Every time I walk in here, I speak to those curtains that come down. You say, why do you want them down? Because there's seats behind them. And I want to see this place filled with people so that they can feel like the strength of rowing is a part of their future. I don't want people in this community. There's enough people that live right here within about a mile earshot of me that could fill this auditorium, pull down those curtains, and help row. Because everybody in this room needs somebody to help them row through their difficulties. Would you be where you are, Jim, had it not been for this church? Anybody else want to testify? Would you be, Maria? You remember when you came to us? All messed up in the head and gung, 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 gung. You say, Pastor, that's insensitive. It's the truth. You looked at me and this is honest. She said, I don't know if I can give it up. She was honest. She said, I don't know if I can give it up. I just look at her and say, I'll love you till you do. And I'll love you after you have. And you're still here. Why? Because this is about a partnership. Do you know what draws the Lord to a church? Well, they got quiet. Like E.F. Hutton, tell me something. Why is the Lord drawn to a church? Because it was the organization that he ordained to represent him. He is obligated to visit our boat. Now, whether or not you can see him, identify him, or draw him is up to you. But for this house, we'll sing till the sun comes up the next day if we can draw him. Because we understand that he inhabits praises of his people. So when you're going through a tough time, we ain't going to let you put your head down. When you went through difficulty, we ain't going to let you walk in here going, oh, gloom is me, despair is me. Oh, no, we say, honey, we don't lose. Keep rowing the boat. I know the wind is contrary, but we believe. God didn't put you in this boat to fail. God didn't bring anybody to this house for you just to go through it independently. He brought us together so we can do life together. The disciples did life together because they were going to do ministry together. We're doing life together so we can do ministry together. I know you're out of all about making money and all that, but you're here to do ministry. We're here to make a difference in our community. And that means in the meantime when that fourth row is empty. In the meantime, we'll keep believing. And in the meantime, well, they're going to sit over here. I just thought I'd go ahead and tell them. I mean, who doesn't need somebody to do life with? Who doesn't need a great relationship with Jesus Christ? Who right now doesn't need more? I need more. So when I try to jump off, Jerry grab me by the belt and go, "Pastor, get back in this boat." You know how many times she's grabbed my belt? When I said, "I'm sick and tired of doing church." Church is tough, guys. "Well, Pastor, I feel guilty if I don't come every Sunday and every Wednesday. You just make me feel guilty." I don't have the power to make you feel guilty. A lot of that's his spirit. You just blame it on me because it's easier to blame me and say, "Well, Pastor, it's just your fault." I believe the Spirit of God wants you in a boat so he can get you to the other side. And here's what the Lord spoke to me. I'm done. Here's what the Lord spoke to me. He said, at conception, there's an excitement. Right? At conception, everybody's running around with, "Whoo, look, it's a plus." Right? Right? Ladies, when you run around going, "Look, it's a positive." I hope you're doing that. "Look, it's a positive. Look, it's a plus." And there's excitement. And then there's not excitement again until birth. Are you here? Same thing in our life. When God gives you a word about your future, "Ah, glory!" He just fails to introduce you to the 9 months of transition and change and challenge and stretch marks. Because you don't get excited again until there's that last, "Ah!" And then you get excited. Right? Come on, am I too elementary? So there's excitement, but what do you do in the meantime? And then you got to get you a midwife. Why? Because you can't birth some things without partnership. See, we get started in this journey of Christianity, and we're all like, "Whoa, this is wonderful." Evan, where are you at? "This is wonderful. I'm saved." Right? 3 people got saved last Sunday. Okay, so they're like, "New life." And then there's Monday, followed by a Tuesday. And for a while, it's not bad. But we all know the wind blows, the storms rage. Just because they're there doesn't mean he's not. Just because they're there doesn't mean he hasn't positioned you for purpose. Just because you conceived and you're all excited about the word God gave you, "I'm going to be a prophet to the world." Wonderful. You know what he did with Paul? Remember Paul? He was once Saul, the persecutor of the church, the Christian killer. Yeah, that's like God's least likely to succeed, right? You got Saul, who's persecuting and killing Christians, has an encounter with God on Damascus Road. Remember that? And the Bible says the glory of God knocks him off his animal on the ground. Boom. And God speaks audibly. I mean, I'm not talking about wrote it in a cloud. I'm talking about God spoke.
Soul.
You know what I'm saying? A God moment, an encounter like that. You would think he wouldn't have no meantime. I mean, if God speaks audibly to you and says, "Listen, here's who you was, here's where you are, here's where you're going," and he gets up and he's blind and they lay hands on him and he's healed and he's got all this excitement. And God failed to tell him he'd spend the next 3 years in obscurity. Not seen, not preaching, not writing, not doing anything, but rowing. Audible voice. Daniel, an audible voice from God. And then he spends 3 years where nobody knows what he's doing. Why is it? Because God uses your meantime as significant encounters to galvanize, one, your trust in him, two, your partnership, and three, the path. That's what's happening to you. Let's stand together all across this room. You say, well, why did you share this? Because you're here. I share it because you're here. Because there's people in this room that feel like they're worn out. They're worn down. They're frustrated. They're disconnected. And they're like, you know what? Man, Pastor, I'm just tired of going to church. What's the benefit? Remember what I said during worship about a pattern of life? You remember that? That's really the catalyst of what started prompting these thoughts for me. Because when you have God speak to you about going to the other side, you get caught up with the adversities and you forget about his promises. And it's in times like that you got to live the pattern. You got to be consistent to pray when you don't feel like praying. You got to be consistent in church even though you don't want to go to church and they're all hypocrites. I get it. We got room for a few more. Join us. I get it. Well, they're all hypocrites in church. Okay. They're hypocrites in the world. Well, I expected more of the church. Well, don't. You're in it, and I'm in it, so we're far from perfect. I'm just one step into grace. I really wanted to help people today. I really wanted to help people today. Don't give up. Maybe that's the message. Don't give up. Don't give up. Maria, don't give up. Truth of the matter is, you'd have went back to where you came from had some people not grabbed you by your belt and pulled you back in the boat. I love folk when they'll go to your house and pull your liquor out for you. You say, well, I don't want to go to that kind of church. You probably need us. Because we don't mind. See, we had a different kind of church. That's why those curtains will come down sooner than later. Why? Because we're the kind of church where you can come with your imperfections. You can come with your failures. You can come with your jacked up attitude. You can come with your wadded up theology. You can come with your anti-Christian values. You can come here and find out we'll love the devil right out of you. And we'll love hell right out of you. And we'll love the system right out of you. And we'll break the stereotype of what Christianity is, because our boat's about rowing together. Well, what are we going to do now? Stay in the boat. If this is not your boat, fine, find you one. People are amazed when I send them to somebody else's church. John Marie said that to me. John Marie comes from out of state and all this, and she tries to find and get located and connected. And she still reminds me. She said, I was amazed. You called me and said, look, if we're not your cup of tea, we'll help you find someplace else to go. The body of Christ works that way. Not everybody's going to come here. But there's 85,000 people within a 3-mile radius of this local campus that needs to know Jesus Christ. And at that level, if we reach what we're supposed to reach and every other church within this radius reaches what they're supposed to reach, we'll still have to plant multiple churches in order to take care of them. We're here to help you. So what I want to do is, and this is going to be really uncomfortable probably. I just want you to build some unity with each other. I mean, maybe three or four or five of you can kind of get together and just encourage each other. I know this, you're like, can you not lay hands on us or something? What good's that? If I lay hands on you and you still don't feel like you're a part of something. The glory will knock you down, but what's the point if you get up and don't have a boat? See, boat looks like this to me. Grab him. Come on, Brandon. Come on, Anthony. Join in. How cute is that? Come on. Hey, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. Oh, wait a minute. I think I will. Come on. Come on. Let's go. Come on. Hey.
Is that a men's only boat?
No, come on. Y'all keep going. Come on. I wonder if you'll row together, who'll join your boat and help you make him glorious?
Five Stones Church thanks you for listening to this message from Pastor Ryan Smith. For more information, events, and the latest news, consider connecting with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Together, we can awaken a generation.